time once again for Off the Hook. Okay, well, as you can see, maintenance is not at the top of our list here. That machine's been broken now for about a month, and I don't think it's... I feel like smashing it into little bits. I really do. It's not going to work any less if I do that. Just imagine that you're hearing the theme. This is Off the Hook. Mayor Goldstein here with us. We're trying to call Bernie, but we're having trouble reaching him as well. And we also wanted to play various phone things, but of course the computer's not working either. So, you know, we're just going to have to resolve to rely on our own voices to entertain you with information and news and that kind of a thing. Redbird, how you doing?
How's it going?
Okay, Arseny's here. And Jim and Mike Hello. Is trying to reach Bernie on the phone. Sorry for all the craziness. That's a code if you need a code. Yes or no? You don't even know? Okay. Let's talk about some of the things that are happening in the news today. Actually, you know what? Why don't we start with a challenge? We were walking around the city earlier today, and we looked at this. Bernie there? Bernie, you there?
In Philadelphia.
Ah, good. Okay. Well, hopefully things are working better down there than they are here. Thanks, Mike, for hooking that up. We were walking around New York City earlier today, and you know that that big clock over by Union Square? You've seen it, right? The big countdown clock?
Oh.
Yeah.
And count up?
It basically, what it does is it counts down and it counts up at the same time. And many people have spent entire college careers trying to figure out what that's all about. And what it turned out to be was something that counts down and counts up at the same time for the hour of midnight. So it would be like 6 hours to midnight and 18 hours since midnight. One would be counting up, one would be counting down. But that has changed.
What?
That has been changed. In fact, we went by there before because I noticed it the other day, actually, when I was with you, Mike. We noticed it then. It seems to be just a countdown now. Now, what time were we by there? We wrote down the numbers.
We were there at 5:51.
5:51 p.m.
Yes.
Today. All right. And what were the numbers there? And tell us what they were separated by and all that kind of thing.
Okay. Well, they're a series of two-digit numbers. Okay. So the first one at that time was 76, 13, 0, 8, and 55.
And were separated by a space each.
Right. And then there was one at the end that was counting too quickly to be written down.
Okay. So that tells us that the last one is probably seconds.
The last one is probably like fractions of
fractions
a second.
Fractions of a second. Now, we went back there in 5 minutes, and what had changed?
The third column went down by five, so that's probably a minute column.
Okay, so the third column is a minute column, and the one after that is seconds and hundreds of seconds, that kind of thing. So then that leaves days, I guess?
Days and hours.
Hours and days.
Yes.
Okay, so what are those first two numbers?
76 and 13 as of, 5 o'clock.
Okay, 13 as of 5 o'clock. So let's do some calculations here. Maybe our listeners can join us with this.
Let's make it simple for not only me, who's notoriously simple, but also for our listeners. What were the readings at the start? All the readings.
All the readings. Give us all
76,
the readings.
76,
mm-hmm.
13,
13,
08,
08,
55.
55, and then there were the partial seconds following that, correct?
Yes.
The ones going so
and
fast.
How many digits was that? That was two digits.
Two digits. All two digits. No human can read those.
Okay, you came back 5 minutes later, and what were all the readings 5 minutes later?
76, 13, 03, 55 at that exact, exactly 5 minutes later. And then, again, it was going.
Okay, so we're pretty sure that the 55 in this case was the seconds.
Yes.
And that the.
All right, let's do this the easy way right now. Let's figure out the hour part of this. Okay, we can figure out what hour of a day this is going to stop. Right. It's got 13 hours left. Right.
At 13
hours.
PM.
13 hours at 5 p.m. Exactly
at,
13
at,
hours.
Well, at exactly 5 p.m. it would have been 14, I guess.
14? Wouldn't it be counting down? Not
what time was it that you went and looked at this?
This was at 5:51.
Okay, so at 6 o'clock. At 6 o'clock, it would be how many hours?
At exactly 6 o'clock, there would be 13 hours left.
Okay, so that means 7 a.m.
Right.
Is the time that whatever happens, right?
So
all we need to do now is figure out the days. How many days are there?
Okay, so it's 7 a.m. April 21st, which is tomorrow. It should read 76, and everything else should be 0.
Right. So now all we have to do is figure out what 76 days from April 21st is, and then we can say at 7 a.m. that is the important period.
It's April 97th, obviously.
It's April what?
97th.
I mean. No, wait a minute. This is 2 months and 16 days, roughly. Yes, I know that days are
April
different
has 30 days. May has 31. I know this. I studied it in school. June has 30. July has 31. August has 31. I'm not sure how far I have to go for this.
No, you're fine. Do that again. April has how many?
April has 30 days. 30 days hath September, April, May, no, April, June, and November.
Okay.
All the rest have 31 except for February, which nobody understands.
Okay, May has 31, and June has how many?
June has 30.
June has 30. Okay.
But we're getting really technical tonight, aren't we?
We're going to get emails explaining February to us, I think.
I think so, yeah, the February Club or something. Okay, so we really just need to know, tomorrow it's going to be 76 days from 7 a.m., right?
Right.
All right, so now somebody here has to figure this out somehow. Now, can somebody do this and figure out how many?
I'll try.
You subtract, I guess, subtract 30, right? And then you'll be, today's what, April 20th?
Yeah.
It'll be May 20th in 30 days. So take 30 days off the 76. Actually, wait. I just messed up because it's tomorrow we're counting from, which would be April 21st. So May 21st. The number will be 46, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Who wants to do May?
Jim looks like he has it under control.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe we should do this, you know, while we talk about other things and come up with a date in a moment. I'm not sure how well this is translating on radio. Bernie, are you able to follow this over the phone?
I gave up.
Yeah. It's really perplexing.
It.
What do you got?
July 4th.
July 4th? I don't think that's right.
Why?
I don't know. I just don't think that's right. But everybody double check. Everybody do this independently and see if we all come up with the same date, except for me, because I have to like read stories and things like that.
I'm sure many of our listeners have already figured it out.
All right, somebody call in then.
We have a very bright listenership.
Brighter than us.
Actually, Redbird, you're good with the numbers. I want to see you write this down, figure it all out.
I need a
And Mike, I know you're very good with numbers too.
No. Only up to two.
Okay. We went to the Trenton computer. Was it again? Festival or fair?
Festival.
I'll get it right someday. Trenton Computer Festival. And we did a radio show down there.
And how festive it was.
Sort of a radio show. It was pretty festive. It was cool. We hung out by the old computers, the retro computers, CPM. Haven't used CPM in ages. And it was just kind of fun to realize how little that operating system could do. It didn't even have dates or times on the files. And you had to load diskettes and all that kind of thing. But it really brought back memories. So that was one of the things. There was a flea market. There were all kinds of talks, and we kind of gave one of them in the form of a radio show, which I understand was taped.
I just have one more thing on the CPM. Everyone who ever used CPM remembers PIP, but very few people remember what exactly PIP does. So if you happen to know, let us know.
I know what PIP does. PIP is an editor.
No. Is it?
Yeah.
You could use it as an editor?
Oh, wait. No. Wait. Hold on. I'm sorry. No, PIP is not. PIP is for copying. Copying files.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. I totally forgot about that. It's been a while. Mm-hmm. But it used to be when you used those computers, you know, you had to load in a different floppy for every command you wanted to run. And you just had to – you had to really know what you were doing and be prepared to wait a very long time. So, yeah. Well, it was fun. And the show was well received. I want to thank everybody who showed up down there. Special thanks to Kevin and his dad for showing up and taping the thing so that we can actually air this at some time in the future, maybe on the shortwave station or something like that. Is that the plan, Bernie?
Well, yeah. Next time WBAI preempts Off the Hook, which we normally simulcast on shortwave, 7415 kilocycles, which is heard through most of the Western Hemisphere. Next time we are preempted, at least we can broadcast the live version of Off the Hook from the Trenton Computer Festival on shortwave that day.
We just have a surprise guest who wandered into the studio. Delchai is here. How you doing?
Hey.
Oh.
Back home for a change.
Where have you been? I haven't seen you in years.
I've been here and there and some little parts of everywhere.
Wow. I've been to one of those places.
Yeah.
Welcome to New York, right? You're not in New York.
I'm in New York for a good while now.
That's good. Well, welcome back.
Thank you.
Anything new on your end?
Yeah, a couple things. I sent you an email about this, but I don't think you got it yet. Your shows, both this show and your other one,
Off the Wall,
uh-huh, are being rebroadcast on the new CDC's Ninja Strike Force radio.
Well, that certainly is a revelation. Why don't you tell us something about the CDC Ninja Strike Force radio?
Well, I got a mandate from Swamp Rat himself that we needed to do a new media blitz, and I've been doing web radio for almost 9 years now. Uh-huh. And so he asked me if I would go ahead and fire up Ninja Strike Force Radio. We went on the air about 4 months ago, and I was in the process of, you know, picking what to play and how to play, and I set up an automatic repeater that tunes into WBAI.
Nice.
Bing. So we're on Ninja Strike Force Radio right now.
How about that? We're also on shortwave on 7415 kilohertz. And I don't know, Mike, are we on anything else?
I think we're on this Norwegian station, Radio Rocco.
But we're not on live, right? Because
No.
6 in the morning or something. Like
about 6.5 days delayed. But
Actually, it's like 2 in the morning there.
Yeah. Well, 7 their time, 2 our time, or 1 our something. You look it up. It's online.
Well, if you have a station that you'd like to rebroadcast our show or broadcast live, we'll try to and work with you. Write to us, oth@2600.com. It's kind of cool to be starting our own network this way. Not having to worry about all those rich people with their satellites and microwave links and things like that. Delchai, we're trying to solve a riddle here, and that's why these people are hard at work writing down numbers and things like that. Redbird, do you have an answer yet?
Is it the fifth?
What are you asking me for? I don't know the answer.
I just didn't work too hard on it.
Well, you know, you're going to have to work really hard on it. I expect everybody to be trying to figure. We're trying to figure out how many days 76 was the number?
Yeah.
76 days from April 21st is. That's all we're trying to figure out.
Ah, the 21st. Okay. Sorry about that.
Well, that's what we said. Yes. April 21st is tomorrow. 76 is what that's going to be at. Yes, Ars.
I believe it's the countdown to the death of the new pope.
The death of the new pope?
Well, you know, he's pretty old already. And
it's possible nobody knows what this thing is, you know.
Well, it's the sixth. And
the sign could have been taken over by Al-Qaeda, you know, and that could be like a countdown to some new horrible thing that they're planning.
You've seen the reruns of Independence Day too many times. I've
just
told you that before.
We should be dialing 311, and we need to be, you know, saying that we saw something.
Okay. July 6th, as far as I can
July tell. 6th? All right. You guys are going to have to agree on this, all right? Now, Mike is busy calculating. I think maybe he'll have the definitive word, and then we can figure it out from there. Bernie, any interesting news that you've seen? I understand you were almost hit by a Verizon Hummer or something.
This is the weirdest thing I ever saw. There's I think it was just before the Trent Computer Festival. I was walking to work in the morning, as I usually do, and this brightly colored Hummer H2, one of these, you know, giant deathmobiles, careening around a corner at 8th and Chestnut Street in Philadelphia and practically nailed me. And after yelling at the driver, it's a rather large woman, she apologized, and I said, well, what's this? It said Verizon Fios on the side of it. I said, well, what's Verizon Fios anyway? And she handed me, she reached behind her and grabbed a sheet of paper, like a brochure. And it's Verizon's new fiber to the home service. So I guess they're trying to get a leg up on cable modem service, which beats DSL hands down on speed generally. So fiber has a promise of fiber to the home has a promise of trouncing the speed of cable modem service. And the catch is, I went on there's a toll free number you can call, 888-GET-FIOS, FIOS, where you can go on Verizon's website and just search for Fios.
Fios.
The catch is you have to buy their voice services on top of this. You can't buy naked fiber like you can buy naked DSL.
Who coined the phrase naked DSL anyway?
I kind of like it.
I do too, but you know, in this day and age, it's kind of hard to believe that a company would push that kind of a thing. I mean, there are children that might subscribe to this.
Well, I don't think the companies themselves are using the term naked DSL or naked fiber, but for our listeners who don't know what that means, it's basically just pure internet access. No voice services are bundled with it. You know, in a lot of markets, when you have DSL service from your local exchange carrier, you have to have POTS, plain old telephone service, with a phone number and the voice services along with that. But in some markets, I think Mike was exploring naked DSL. How's that working out, Mike?
It's not. Verizon has to install the physical line if you want the naked DSL, and they have really no inclination to do so, especially if you're not getting it from them. They have now come to my place 4 times, each one coming up with a more inane excuse than the last for why they can't get access to the phone box. The most recent time they came, I was not home, so I wrote them a letter and put it in an envelope and taped the envelope to the front door where, you know, anyone could just come and take the envelope. When I got home, they had decided that there was no access to the place without even so much as opening the envelope.
See, I think that there's something that prohibits them from opening an envelope. I think that's like probably policy of some sort.
There's a lot that prohibits them from opening an envelope, but I don't think it's a policy. I think
they don't have any problem opening the envelope so you send your monthly payment.
No, they don't have any trouble with that.
Okay. Now, Bernie, also there's something going on in Philadelphia concerning Wi-Fi for the city.
That's what the mayor would like us to believe, but who was just recently voted like about the worst mayor in the entire country by Time Magazine in their current issue, by the way, due to corruption and other things.
Well, our mayor was voted one of the five best by who was it who voted Bloomberg one of the five
the
best?
The same men? Time Magazine, so it just goes to show you shouldn't really trust them.
Yeah, I mean that doesn't prove a damn thing. But go ahead, tell us more about this.
Well, one of our listeners wrote in saying that hey, Philadelphia has announced they want to set up a citywide Wi-Fi, and you know I just don't think this city has the, or at least this administration has the wherewithal to pull that off. It's going to cost double-digit millions of dollars to do it, probably more, and they've really flubbed other public telecommunications resource projects like public access to cable TV. We're the only city out of like the top. Out of the largest 20-some cities in the entire country, Philadelphia is the only one without any cable TV channels with public access, where you know you can put your own program on. And up in New York, there's Manhattan Neighborhood Network, which is fantastic. I think that's on Time Warner. It's a really terrific setup. And there's even five channels that are allocated for that. But the city just can't seem to bring itself to tell Comcast, which is a major campaign contributor to the mayor and city council, to, hey, give back these five channels that you're using for pay-per-view and let us use them for public access, like our city ordinance says it has to be. So I have no faith in this administration pulling off citywide Wi-Fi. They do have it in a few select areas. They have it in Love Park, which was the greatest skateboard park on the East Coast probably until this mayor decided to ban skateboarders from it. And then there's a few other parks in the city that have public Wi-Fi provided for free by the city, but that's about it. And I don't think it's going to expand much past that. It would be a huge project, and you know there are public resources. There are private companies that would be offering this already. So it's not like you can't get broadband wirelessly other ways.
And this isn't free by any means either. What they're proposing will cost $16 to $20 a month.
Well, initially they said it was going to be free, and then they said, well, you know, it's going to be like some maybe $20 a month or whatever, and it'll probably go up from there. And it's just, as bad as corporations are at offering services, governments are even worse at offering fee-based services to telecommunications stuff.
But the day will come when entire cities are covered by Wi-Fi, WiMAX, whatever you want to call it, some sort of a service that will connect you to the internet. And for virtually nothing, or close to nothing.
I hope so. But unfortunately, the problem is there's a lot of states across the country. There are laws being passed at the behest of the local exchange carriers, making it illegal for any municipality to offer a public, either free or fee-based Wi-Fi service, or any kind of broadband service, because they don't. You know, the local exchange carriers and the cable companies don't want any city encroaching on their profit turf. So when a law was just passed like that in Pennsylvania recently, just a couple months ago, we talked about it on this show. But the governor Rendell, who used to be the mayor of Philadelphia, he drafted a little exception to the law just for Philadelphia, not for Pittsburgh or any of the rest of the entire state. That Philadelphia would be able to do that if they could roll out Wi-Fi within the next year, and have at least one paying customer. So. But I don't even think they're going to be able to pull that off, so we'll see.
Okay. We also have this story, which is kind of funny, I think, or maybe kind of sad. IBM has won a $125 million deal that will put black boxes in tens of thousands of cars in the United Arab Emirates. The four-year deal expected to be announced last Friday, probably was, calls for IBM to equip cars and trucks with a telematics device and GPS that will provide information on a vehicle's location and speed to government agencies. It will link tens of thousands of vehicles in a nationwide wireless network. IBM asserts this will be the largest application of telematics, or the marriage of mobile communications and computing, as of yet. If a driver exceeds the speed limit, a warning will be transmitted to the individual car via an onboard speaker. Autos will also be equipped with screens and voice recognition software to access services planned for the future. In addition, you'll be able to immediately pay using a credit card for any tickets that you get. No, I just made that up, but I think that's next.
That's coming.
So do you think this is going to be introduced in this country anytime soon?
Sure. Just based on what you just said, Emmanuel, I don't think you were kidding. This is going to be happening real soon when the government can actually literally reach into your pocket the moment you exceed their arbitrary speed limits. That governments aren't going to be able to state municipal governments aren't going to be able to resist that cash grab, and they're just going to start grabbing.
Apparently, United Arab Emirates has a very high accident-related fatality rate. They have 38 per 100,000 people. U.S. only has 15 per 100,000 people, and Sweden only has 6.
And they can't even drink there, can they?
That I don't know.
Probably not. What's interesting about this is twofold. First, in the United States, this sort of thing is already out there. There are some cars that have black boxes, and in fact, there's been an appeals case in which somebody who was convicted of some sort of driving infraction, serious infraction, there was a serious accident involved, I think with a fatality, is suing because essentially the black box interpreting it as a Fifth Amendment violation. He's being compelled, more or less, since he owned the car and the black box by extension, of being testifying against himself because they went in, no warrant, grabbed the black box, took the data, proves he's doing whatever. Yeah. Furthermore, back to the United Arab Emirates, you may remember about 10 years ago in Saudi Arabia, there was a mass protest of women driving. Yes, you can't drive if you're a woman in Saudi Arabia. With this, they would be able to crack down on that sort of thing almost instantaneously.
Well, how would they know if it's a woman driving?
They would know whose cars were involved.
Uh-huh.
Who was in this area at such and such a time.
I mean, we're getting to the point where, they'll be able to look at your fingerprint on the steering wheel and figure out who you are.
Well, you watch CSI, they do that already.
The difference between the Dubai system, which is United Arab Emirates, the difference between that system and what's happening in this country for the most part so far is that in Dubai, the IBM system that's being installed there's a GPS system which provides the location data, and apparently it's also linked by some cellular system to some head end so that the government will know the moment you do that. In the U.S., the black boxes that are installed in almost all cars in the past few years, the government would have to, or whoever wanted to find out your information, would have to physically retrieve the computer from your car. Now, an exception is the OnStar systems that are in literally millions of cars in this country, and the FBI has been found to have sort of done a sneak and peek type of infiltration of some vehicles. There was a case a few years ago where they broke into some alleged criminal's car and hotwired the OnStar box so they'd be able to listen to what the occupants of the car were saying through the OnStar system as the people were driving around in their cars. But in the process, they had to disable the airbag triggering system. So not only were they eavesdropping on somebody on the car through their OnStar system, if that person had an accident, they could have been killed as a result.
I don't even see how the two things relate, but...
But apparently, according to the FBI, they had to do it that way, and they said they were sorry they had to, but they had to.
Well, with the FBI, you always have to suspend your disbelief a bit. But,
but this stuff is coming.
The OnStar system is supposed to send a notification if the airbags deploy.
Uh-huh.
There's like a little emergency channel that it uses. They may have been using that channel.
Oh, sort of using...
If the airbags deploy, it sends a signal up saying this car was just in an accident.
So they did like a Star Trek thing, and they rerouted it to use it for voice instead of for like
probably,
saving a life. Okay.
New Mexico, I read recently, just passed a law where I think it's your first or second DWI, it's mandatory. You have to put a breathalyzer in your car. So you get in your car, you blow in the tube, you get a green light, you can start the car and drive away. The funny part is that it does what they call rolling rechecks. So while you're driving down the road, it's going to beep and say you have to take another breathalyzer test, and there's a tube apparently up on the visor you have to blow into. If you don't do it within a certain amount of time, the lights and horns start going off like as if it was a car alarm while you're driving your car.
Pennsylvania has that right now.
Yeah, and the funny thing is they're making people pay for it. When you get found guilty, then part of your fine goes towards paying to have that installed, plus an extra amount so that there's a fund for people who can't afford to have them put in so they can get them put in if they're found guilty.
Whatever happened to just seizing the licenses of people who drive drunk?
Well, that didn't stop very many people from driving.
Well, I mean, they could still drive somebody else's car, couldn't they?
They could drive someone else's car. I'm sure there's some legal thing about that, but it's just another...
That's what I need to learn about, not about drunk driving or anything like that, but driving someone else's car, because I'm still trying to get that damn smart car out of Canada. You know, the little tiny smart cars that I've been raving about? They still haven't been introduced in this country. In fact, Smart has cut a lot of their production, and they won't be introducing the SUV, fortunately, next year, which I was really devastated that's what they were going to introduce in this country. But in Canada, they have the little two-seater cars, and I can only get it from Canada. But I can't buy a car in Canada because I'm not a Canadian citizen. I need a Canadian citizen who will buy the car, and then I guess I have to borrow it somehow. I don't know what the legalities of that are. I think it's completely legal, but it's just something that's been driving me crazy over the past couple of months. I came this close to having one. I came this close to driving around New York City in a little tiny smart car.
How close is that for the people on the radio?
It's pretty close. Saskatchewan, okay? I knew somebody in Saskatchewan who actually lives in the States.
Saskatchewan is not close at all.
No, but the person who lived here was close, and he has a Saskatchewan license. However, the car was going to be obtained in Quebec, and they don't recognize Saskatchewan licenses.
What?
Well, the insurance company doesn't. You can't insure a car with Saskatchewan Saskatchewan license. You have to get a Quebec license, which means he'd have to give up his license.
You have to go to the Great Plains of Canada to Saskatchewan and buy the car
just,
there.
Well, yeah, but then I have to get it over the border somehow.
Driving.
It's a very long distance. You know, it's a bit more
small car, so yeah. You'll have fun. You'll get to know whoever's with you.
I don't know. If anyone has any ideas, please email us. I'd sure like to know more about this. OTH@2600.com. It would literally be easier to steal the thing. It literally would. Delcha, you ever seen one of these things?
No, I haven't.
Really cool. They're everywhere in Europe. In fact, they're probably everywhere except here.
Imagine a bubble on a skateboard.
You could imagine that. If you go to smart.com, you'll see it there. The little tiny car.
There's usually one parked at the north end of Union Square. The parks department.
No, that's not a smart car. That's like a golf cart.
Oh, okay.
It's not a smart car.
I know what
car.
A golf cart is.
That's like a deluxe golf. No, that's. I know what you're looking at, and that's not it.
You sure?
Yes, I'm positive.
It looks a lot
I've
like a
seen
smart
that
cart.
Vehicle.
No, I've seen those too. You know, it's funny. I noticed the little things that have changed since I've been away. They're now all painted black. They used to have like white and blue, like you know. And I always wanted one of those things just because it was a perfect little two-seater.
I'm pretty sure you guys are not talking about what I'm talking about. Well, we'll go online later and look.
Yeah, we'll just have to look. But you brought up Union Square again, which brings us back to our puzzle that we're trying to figure out. Have we agreed on a day or a date?
Yes, we have.
What date have we agreed on?
7 a.m. What is it? Wednesday?
July
6th.
Okay, so let's let our listeners see if they can help us with this. The countdown clock in Union Square seems to be going towards 7 a.m. July 6th. Something is going to happen at that time and date.
Possibly location.
And possibly location. So if you have a theory as to what that is, give us a call, 212-209-2900, and see if you can be the first.
Or even better, if you go online and figure out what that is, that would be greatly appreciated.
Yeah.
We don't know what it is. We have no idea if the answer is online.
Yeah, I don't think it is because I looked online. I couldn't find anything.
Okay.
But anyway, we have other bits of news as well. Sorry, Bernie, what?
Speaking of timing, yesterday was the 10th anniversary of the Oklahoma City federal building explosion. And
today's the anniversary of Columbine.
How about that?
And it's also 420, which means smoke pot. And
Hitler's birthday.
And Waco was yesterday, too, I think. And the Pope was. The new Pope was yesterday.
I think there's a grand conspiracy here. But I always take notice on April 19th every year, since that happened 10 years ago, I always take notice that the security measures, the extra security measures that are taken around all federal buildings, it's really interesting to see they really pulled out the stops this year because it was the 10th anniversary. On top of the Philadelphia federal building and courthouse here, there were snipers walking around on the roof, as there were last year, but there were more snipers this year than last year, as we talked about on last year's show. And around the U.S. Mint and the Federal Reserve Bank, there was a much greater than normal contingent of federal protective service officers armed to the teeth with black flak jackets looking for anyone looking to celebrate the anniversary with a replay of 10 years ago.
What can someone actually do to the U.S. Mint that would require sharpshooters? You know, can they run in there and steal money and run out again? What exactly? If they blow the place up, who are they going to shoot? You know, there's not going to be anybody left. So I don't
this
get
this place is so heavily secured already from a standpoint of you just can't get in the place. Just where the vehicles have to exit with, and the U.S. Mint in Philly is just all coins. It's not like you could even carry enough to make it worthwhile.
That's right.
It's too heavy.
Those big phone company vans that look like Entenmann trucks. Those were for carrying coins out of payphones because. That's what you needed to carry that kind of the kind of weight, that kind of volume. So yeah, it's not. If you're thinking of doing something like that, think again because it's very difficult to carry that amount of coins.
It would be like, although if that building were blown up, it would be like pennies from heaven.
Well, they probably wind up penetrating a lot of skulls too as they landed. But
that's a myth.
I don't think the sharpshooters would help that either.
Well, some of those sharpshooters are so good they could shoot the pennies out of the sky.
Yeah, if they want to do that, they're welcome to, but keep them away from me.
They could stand a good chance of stopping somebody from driving up. Like, I think I wouldn't want to be a person making a delivery there with a rider truck. You know, blow past the checkpoint, they could probably take you out at like 300 yards mm-hmm. before you got to the building, stop the truck from rolling in.
Well, why don't they just stand at street level then? Why are they on top of the roof?
Better vantage point.
More coverage of area.
Yeah, and if they had a nuclear weapon, they could probably really make sure they got their guy, right?
Yeah, but they sort of lose the building, too.
Well, you know, you have to make sacrifices. This is something I think we're going to be seeing a bit more. Police have arrested 16 people in Western India for allegedly cheating 4 Citibank customers out of nearly $350,000. This happened, police said this on Saturday. 3 former Citibank employees at a call center in the western city of Pune and 13 associates were charged with misusing financial data and illegally withdrawing money from the accounts of the New York-based customers. So if you yell at people in India, they may get even with you in all kinds of ways you never imagined because we're all connected now.
Identity theft, I think, is going to be a really big problem because more and more of these services are being farmed out. Banking services, financial services for American citizens is being farmed out to third world countries, and I don't know if India is necessarily a third world country, but in any case, the privacy controls over there from a legal standpoint are less than we have here, which are already inadequate. So I predict identity theft is going to be a bigger and bigger problem with this outsourcing of financial data to third world nations.
We got a number of pieces of mail from people who were answering our questions about seeing a statue of Lenin on Houston Street. And yes, in fact, it appears that we did see Lenin on Houston Street with his hand raised.
Which one?
Which one? Not John Lennon.
Okay.
The other
checking.
One. Yeah.
It's New York.
It is New York. apparently, this very helpful listener writes in, the building on Houston Street in Manhattan with the statue of Lenin and the giant clock facing all directions is named Red Square. Yes. Did you know there was a Red Square right here in New York? I lived there from 1992 to 1994. At that time, there were several artists in residence who had cut a deal with management in exchange for a cut in their monthly rent. They agreed to beautify the building with their work. Several of these artists were sculptors and welders. When I moved in, there were only a few pieces on display in the lobby. And now when you walk by the front door, go upstairs, everywhere you look, there are tile mosaics, wrought iron, and all kinds of other things as well, which is pretty cool. The clock, by the way, it still doesn't tell the right time, but I noticed, or I was told something else about this, all the numbers on the clock are in the wrong area. They it goes like 1, 5, 6, 3, or something like that. I guess that's an artistic statement, but I still think they can make the clock work even with the numbers in the wrong place. Whether or not the hands have to move to match the numbers doesn't matter. It's a huge clock. The whole city can see it practically. So it would be nice to fix the clock. Thanks if everybody wrote in with information on that. And this person writes in saying that they have a statue of Lenin in Seattle as well. It's in a district called Fremont, which also has an actual 1955 Russian rocket bolted to one of the buildings. So there's all kinds of little treasures hidden out there. You just have to know where to look for them. This person writes in, an employee for Delta Airlines. There's an American flag on all the planes. We were talking about American flags and the direction that they face. Some have the stars on the left, some on the right. I've been with Delta since the late 1980s, and the flags have been there since. I think it is a direction thing, as you said on your show. If the plane is flying forward and you are on the right, the stars would be on the left. Signed, Simon from Atlanta. Thanks, Simon, for that letter. Again, you can write to us here at Off the Hook, OTH at 2600.com, or you can send us paper mail at Off the Hook, care of WBAI, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York.
10005.
It's very good.
Thank you. Thank you. I had to make up for Walter's
You definitely have talent. We tried a new guy last week, and it just didn't work out.
You notice he's not even here this week.
Well, no. How could he be?
It's the shame.
You have to sort of take a course in order to get the lines just right, you know, and you've studied this for a number of years.
I plan to move on from numbers to letters.
Well, I hope when you do that your ego doesn't become so big inside your head that you won't stop by and give us a few
Well, I figured I could do letters for the show as well.
That would be nice.
Speaking of which, I got a quickie. The Motion Picture Association of America is suing, or at least threatening, over letters G, PG, PG-13.
Oh,
their
no,
numbers
not
there.
This. We were talking about this weeks ago. Someone actually went and did it?
They are sending, they're sending emails, nasty emails, to people who are doing online fan fiction who are also trying to be good to the readers and rating it, because those are trademarks that they use for the ratings. And the trademarks belong to the Motion Picture Association.
Wait, are they rating them themselves? They're saying the
authors and or editors of online fiction are rating the
oh, they're rating
fiction themselves.
They're not rating movies.
No, fiction.
Have you ever read any of the online fan fiction?
Yeah.
The best way to possibly protect people from that, it would be to just remove it. Because some of this stuff is like some of the worst things you would ever think of. Like, what if these two male characters in Harry Potter started kissing, and what would happen? And it's 25 pages of that written by someone who probably, you know, the worst 5 years of their life with the third grade.
But think of what that person is not doing while he's writing that story.
Right.
You know?
There are federal buildings all over the country that are intact because of fan fiction.
You'll never know. A couple of interesting things our listeners have written in to share with us. This person writes in, you might be interested to see a Dutch TV advertisement that includes a Hackers on Planet Earth poster.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's true. And they give out this incredibly long URL, which we converted to a nice tiny URL, thanks to tinyurl.com. Go to tinyurl.com/6V P as in Paul, 8 as in the number, and P again as in Paul. And then once you do that, click on the word commercial at the bottom of the screen. By the way, I should point out this tends not to work in a lot of browsers. It does work in Explorer. I know that much. It doesn't work in Mozilla, and I don't think it works in Firefox. On the next screen, click on Hackman, and then choose your connection speed. 3 or 4 seconds into the commercial, you'll see a Hope poster in the middle of the screen. It's a commercial for an insurance company, and that's from Irwin. Thanks very much for that contribution. It's kind of a funny commercial, sort of saying that that hackers are evil, but not in a kind of a funny way. You know, they can control everything in the world.
There's a Free Kevin sticker in that too.
Oh, I didn't see the Free Kevin sticker.
It's right, sort of just to the lower left of the H2K2 poster.
Uh huh. Oh, and something else, too. Mike and I, we saw a film the other night called, was it Walk on Water?
Yes.
And this was kind of cool, and it's very obscure. But there's a scene in that movie where they're in Berlin by the Alexanderplatz Plaza area, and they're going down into the U-Bahn, into the subway system. And it's the scene where the trannies get beaten up by the skinheads. But right before that happens, you see a ticket machine on the subway platform. And Redbird, we've seen that ticket machine, right?
We have.
What's special about that particular ticket machine that they showed in that film?
Well, it has a very unique serial number. Happens to be the same as the title of the magazine.
2600. And it's also the other side of it is 2601. I just thought it was cool that I recognized that particular you couldn't see the numbers, but the location was very specific. Right there at Alexanderplatz, just go downstairs, and if you happen to be in Berlin, look at the serial number on there, and you'll see it's 2600.
All the other people in the theater were wondering why all the screaming for a ticket machine.
Well, you know, I'm sorry if they don't understand when people get excited by things that mean a lot to them. And it was only during that scene that I was jumping up and down. And, of course, you couldn't see it. It was blurry in the distance, but I knew what it was. And that's all that matters. Okay, 212-209-2900. Again, we're trying to figure out what the clock in Union Square is counting down to. We figured out it's July 6, 7 a.m. Let's see if anybody out there has a theory or an explanation or an answer. And good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, I know what it is.
You know what it is. Let's see if the first caller can get it. Go ahead.
It's a countdown clock to the day that the IOC will release their decision for the Olympics, whether they'll be in New York or not.
You, my friend, are absolutely correct. Yes, I did sort of know this beforehand because I looked online, but I wanted to have the fun of doing the countdown and figuring it out and just double-checking it. But, you know, I don't know for sure, but it makes sense. And what I think this means is that the city is going to use that as a big propaganda tool, and they're going to try to fill Union Square, of all places, with people supporting the Olympics coming to New York. And at 7 a.m. on July 6th, that's where people are going to be filmed worldwide, either cheering or starting to throw stones.
Wait, wait. So not only do we not get the Olympics, we get stones thrown at these like big ugly merchants? This is sounding better and better.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
You know, I hate to say this as a Republican, but you know me. I'm a devil's advocate. You have to go to all your left-wing friends and pack the square with them on that day. Win or lose, that's the perfect opportunity for an anti-Bloomberg demonstration.
But 7 a.m. in the morning.
Oh, okay. Tell me right now that you're not serious. It's what I believed all the time. You're just
we'll have to, well, I'll have to stay up late at night. That's the only way to do this. Any other insight, caller?
Well, it's like the fifth down on Google. That's all I have to say.
Oh, okay. Well, then you worked hard to figure that out. Thanks, thanks for your info.
So
I looked it up on
us.
Google. I looked it up on Google, and I had to.
So you made us do all this work. You knew the date. You knew the time. And you lied.
Well, no. I had a theory.
Okay.
And, you know, it's still only a theory. I'm assuming that you guys figured it out because I asked three different people and everybody came up with different dates. All right. So some people said the 5th, some people said the 7th. And so if it is the 6th, if it is 7 a.m., that makes sense. That does make sense. It's kind of a shame, though, that a nice piece of art is being used to promote something, you know, for the city government. And God knows how much money is being put into this. Paris is a very nice city. I mean, that's, you know, they deserve the Olympics.
Don't they?
I think they do. I think most people there want it anyway. Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, hey. So you're talking about the giant clock in Union Square on the south side.
I think
there.
We know what it is.
Yeah, well, I heard the prior caller, but something else to consider is, have you seen that piece of art blowing off steam?
The one next to it. Nobody knows when that happens. It just does it every now and then.
No, see, but I think they're one installation, and they might be related, and then that might be the time that it kind of does its whole like magic steam thing. I don't know. I'm guessing.
But it's 76 days away. And
I've seen it occasionally.
It does the magic steam thing regularly.
Yeah, I saw the magic steam today.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just speculating.
Okay.
The hand is supposed to be the hand of Washington, incidentally.
What hand?
There's a hand up above.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
No.
That's Washington's hand.
That's supposed to be Washington.
Not Washington Square Park. Interesting. All right. Thanks thanks for that information. 212-209-2900. And good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah. I found one holiday and some dates in history for July 6th.
Okay.
From the Autonomedia calendar of Jubilee Saints. In Ceylon, I guess Sri Lanka now.
Mm-hmm.
Festival of Buddha's Eye Tooth continues for days. Most processions are at night. Painted jeweled elephants, leaping dancers, costumes, drumming, spinning prayer wheel.
See, you've just described Union Square. You know, that's that makes a lot more sense. All right. And anything else for that date?
In this date in history.
Yeah.
1415, July 6th. Jan Hus burned at stake.
Oh, dear.
In 1535, Sir Thomas More beheaded by order of Henry VIII.
That's a violent day, isn't it?
In 1699, Captain Kidd, pirate, captured in Boston and deported to England.
Oh, that's even worse.
Wait, wait, maybe it's an anti-piracy thing about all the people who are copying CDs.
In 1907, the birthday of Mexican surrealist painter Frida Kahlo.
Oh, I saw that movie.
Born in Mexico City, Mexico.
Okay.
And in 1962, novelist William Faulkner dies, age 64, by Hallam, Mississippi.
Well, for the most part, it's a kind of a sad day, but hopefully it'll be a happy day when they give the Olympics to Paris. But thanks very much for that info. 212-209-2900. Or Madrid. They give it to Madrid. Or even Moscow.
All I hear very nice places.
And London. All those cities, you know, want the Olympics.
I think we should celebrate Buddha's eye tooth there that day.
Thing is, you know, if the Olympics don't come to New York, then, you know, a lot of the steam for that stadium they want to build on the West Side will be lost as well.
They can use it in the artwork.
Yeah,
the
maybe.
Steam.
Maybe. 212-209-2900. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey.
You do want to turn down your radio, otherwise you'll get all kinds of crazy effects.
You might have problems with the your smart car.
Oh, tell me.
Border. Yeah, this United States government, there's been some BMW had the same problem. Lobbying. I think smart car was Mercedes, right?
Yes, it's half Mercedes, half Swatch.
Right, half Mercedes, half Swatch. And BMW had some problems, too, with their C1 scooter.
Okay.
Which, you know, is a nice scooter that has a crowbar on the top, oval-shaped crowbar that's replaceable, which allows the rider not to wear a helmet.
Oh.
It's the fashion in Europe, Italy, all of Europe, in England for the past 5 to 7 years.
Really? So.
And the BMW, I suggest anyone to get the BMW C1 scooter. Mercedes might be the same thing with BMW. It's spending millions of dollars lobbying Congress to allow the scooter to be imported into the United States and get clear registration. So once you get your smart car in, you have to register it. And if it's not recognized as a car, then you're kind of screwed.
Well, not true, because what if you're visiting from Canada? I talked to some dealers in Canada. They said that's no problem going over the border. People drive the things to Florida. As long as it has a Canadian license plate, it's recognized as a valid vehicle in the United States. True, you cannot register it in the United States, but if you're a Canadian owner, you should not have a problem. That's what I've been told.
Well, that's the next step, is to actually get it registered, hopefully in Quebec, I think.
Uh-huh.
Also the BMW C1, because I investigated both automobiles. And you can't actually drive it in without being stopped. But then again, you know, the registration is in Canada. It's not in the United States. So you drive around New York City, you know, the police officers, and will be kind of suspicious. But I already have that covered.
That's not a problem.
I know, but you definitely have your driving a riding experience.
Mm-hmm. No, but you know, driving a car with an out of state or even out of country plate, that's not an issue so much for me. The real problem is finding somebody who is willing to actually do this, quote unquote, lend me the car, and it's a matter of trust on both ends, because technically I'm driving somebody else's car. I've already bought the car from them, you know, but not officially.
I was just trying the websites and see if there's someone is willing to load it on you, uh-huh, sell it to you. And that might be a next step. Like on some of the websites are looking to sell the car. I would predict like Quebec, someplace close to the border.
Yeah, but if you buy the car, you still have to somehow register it. You can't register it in Canada if you're an American citizen.
Exactly.
And you can't register it at all in America.
There lies the problem. Unless you have a residence in Quebec, temporarily.
I looked into that. If I have a residence in Quebec, I still have to give up my United States driver's license in order to get a Quebec driver's license, which I need to get the insurance.
Oh my God! You can't keep both.
You cannot keep both licenses. No, you have to give one up.
I see.
Yeah, it's a real nightmare. Yes, Jim.
I remember an article in the Times a few months ago. Sally Jesse Raphael managed to get one into the country, but between fees and such, it doubled the cost.
She says she aged 20 years trying to do that.
You saw this article.
I did. Yeah. Yes. Thanks very much for your call, sir.
You're welcome.
See, right. I have a feeling though, if they come out with this SUV that our
SUV that, by the way, the small car is called the 4.2. They have a four seater called the 4.4. They were going to introduce something next year in the United States called the 4.more, which was going to be an SUV, which was the stupidest marketing move. It's a small car. What's the point of bringing out an SUV and only that? But they canceled that plan with the latest cutbacks.
Well, our country seems to like those.
And they have a sports car too.
Our country seems to like those, so, you know, you may be...
Yeah, but, you know, if you want an SUV, why would you buy an SUV from a maker of tiny cars?
Well, it may help to get the other models.
I don't know. I want the tiny car, all right? I'm going to keep bitching about it till I get one. It's crazy, though. Everything I want these days, I seem to have to jump through hoops to get it, whether it's, you know, broadcasting of a particular networks from foreign countries, or reading material, or the cars I drive, or where I go. It's always, I have to do something to get around the system. It's really, it's kind of silly. 212-209-2900. And good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah. How's your Republican guy there?
He looks healthy.
He
looks
down with
fine.
John Bolton and the new Pope, the Grand Inquisitor, and Pope?
Well, I'm Greek Orthodox. I think that the Catholics are just way too liberal.
You're
anyway.
Greek Orthodox?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
My grandfather was a priest.
Wow. You've kept that quiet. Huh,
it's not something that you could usually use to pick up girls. I mean, hey, yeah. My grandfather was a priest. Yeah.
Republican.
All right. Well, he seems to be fascinated with the fact that you're a Republican, but we're going to move on to something a little bit more controversial than that. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. I'd like to know what you think about Speakeasy. I've been getting a lot of mailings about some sort of proprietary DSL system where you don't need a phone connection and you can get up to 6 megabytes. But it's still 768 upload. But if you have any information, I would appreciate it.
Okay. Mike, do you know anything about this?
It's very hard to get.
Yeah, he's been trying to get it. Is Speakeasy the company you're using?
Yes.
Okay. Are you in New York, sir?
Yeah.
Okay. What could he look forward to going through?
Well, if I don't know what you do, but if you are able to stay home all day and like, stalk the Verizon employee until it's usually a he fixes your phone line or whatever, then like maybe you'll get the service. But for those of us who have other things to do, it's very hard.
But wait, Mike, I'm confused here. You said Verizon guy, and he specifically said Speakeasy. Why do you need to have a Verizon guy come to your house if you want to use Speakeasy?
Because Verizon owns all of the copper wiring that goes to your house in New York, and they do not let other people touch it. And they don't like touching it on behalf of anyone else.
Well, that hardly seems fair.
It hardly is fair.
Ah.
I had Speakeasy when I lived back here, and I had to go through about 12 attempts to get Verizon to come out and do things. And in the end, I ended up doing it myself. It was just a matter of going downstairs and going jumper, 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 jumper. And then I called Speakeasy, and I said, oh, it's working. Great. Here you go.
I just thought of a solution. Delchai will go over to Mike's house and fix his DSL, and Verizon will be out of the equation completely.
News tip. Hopefully it might help someone. I had called perhaps earlier in the year when I had found out that Verizon was going to allow people who had DSL lines from them when it was only 700 plus, they were going to allow everyone to have a free upgrade to 1.5, but they were told specifically by their administrators that no one was supposed to mention that, only if the customer called and asked for it. And finding that out, it only took 3 hours later, I was up to 1.5. Now I just found out when I called a service person that you can now get free upgrade to 3.0. I got my free upgrade, and it's working fine. I noticed an astounding difference. So hopefully that might help people because, again, she verified that they were told by their administrators not to volunteer that information, only if you asked and you requested the free upgrade. So I hope that helps other people. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for your call.
Comcast did the same thing recently.
All right.
You're talking about voice over IP.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I found out about recently when I was digging around is I run my own voice over IP system. I run Asterisk out of a co-location, and like certain friends of mine are allowed into it. Linksys is making a voice over IP box, and you can see them in almost any store, but they come bundled with some companies, you know, you must use this company. They make a second one. It's the identical part number with the letters NC added to it, and it's unlocked. So you can use it for anything you'd like. And all it is, it's just an interface where, you know, your Ethernet goes into one plug and your phone goes into the other and you're done. And you can program it yourself and you can use it. You can buy some of these things. They cost $200 to $150 to $200. The Linksys ones are somewhere in the $50 range. They're really, really hard to get. From what I heard, they made them for a little while and then they got slapped and said stop. So they stopped making them, but you can still get them if you dig around a lot. And private voice over IP networks, I think, is going to be the next big fun thing to do at home.
Fascinating. Yeah, everyone's using Asterisk, and it seems to be a lot of fun, very versatile. Mm-hmm. Let's see if we can squeeze in one or two more phone calls. And good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call, folks. Could you talk about the medical effects of having a Wi-Fi city? There's a controversy among a lot of different people around just having the cell towers all over the joint. And I was wondering whether anybody there has done any investigation on the various studies that have been done about health effects of...
Well, it's a good question. I mean, Wi-Fi is very low power. It works about 150 feet per transmitter. Is that about the distance?
Well, when you have antennas up on buildings, you can get a little bit further than that. But, I mean, compared to the power that's being put out by all the other transmitters, especially in this area, I mean, Wi-Fi is going to be negligible.
But if you have a Wi-Fi transmitter in your bedroom, for instance, that's something that's always there, you know, maybe next to your head or something like that. Have there been safety studies done on this?
There's been no studies that...
It is noteworthy to note that the frequency band that Wi-Fi, 802.11 Wi-Fi, uses is the same as microwave ovens in your house. Still 2.4 gigahertz. Look it up.
Right.
But obviously, the power level with Wi-Fi is much less. But the commercial Wi-Fi repeaters that you see out on, you know, on light poles here in Philadelphia and the few parks where it exists, those things look like pretty beefy transmitters, antennas. I don't know what the power output is, but I wouldn't want to put my head right near one. But typically, they're going to be up on a pole or up on a building somewhere, hopefully not near your head.
The reason I was bringing it up is because the ecological show that is on Tuesday also brought it up, was bringing it up from the other point of view. And so since you guys are really technical, I wanted to know whether you all had any concern around it. What's the other piece real quick? I was really interested in the conversation that you all had just before this about doing voice over IP yourself and also getting, did someone say megabits? Yeah. Is there someplace on the web or someplace where you can get more information about all that?
Just call them and ask for it.
Call who? I'm sorry.
Whoever your provider. They're talking about the speed upgrade. Just call them and say, hey, I'd like my free speed upgrade and see what they say.
I know Verizon only has three, but you gave the name of another company?
That wasn't me.
Well, we were talking about Speakeasy. We were talking about...
Okay,
there's lots of different ones.
I talked about Comcast, but that's a cable company. Yeah. It's not really DSL.
You just have to look around. They're out there. Go on the internet. Do some little surveys of your own. Things will be getting faster. No question about that.
Whatever happened to Ricochet?
I used to
have Ricochet here when I lived in the city, and you could get, that was almost as good as Wi-Fi, and you could get it anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I used to tell them they didn't read my email in the back of a cab while riding around.
Well, those days will be back, I'm sure, at much faster speeds and much more reliable.
The network apparently still exists, but it's just been turned down.
Uh-huh. We're out of time, and I want to thank everybody for calling in, sending their questions and replies and things like that. And yes, I think we solved the problem, the question of the Union Square mystery.
We have
mystery.
Yet to solve the problem.
Mystery. Oh, yeah, the problem. We've solved the question, I guess, for now. It's counting down to the date the Olympics are announced, July 6, 7 a.m., so I guess now's the time to organize a big, loud demonstration against it in Union Square for that time. We'll see you next week. Good night.